Merry Christmas, day after, to you guys. Glad you're here. Glad you crawled out of your pajamas and your chocolate haze to be here today. And if you're watching online, your pajamas, eating chocolate, then glad you're here also. Think about this morning and just the fun of Christmas. Excuse me, curious. Anybody here wearing something that they got on Christmas? Stand up. All right, we're going to guess what you're wearing. No, we're not going to guess. But this young man right here, Emma Cunningham, what is this man wearing that he got on Christmas? A sweater vest. Yes, he is a Cunningham. Just like pop, like son. Sweater vest unite. Anyway, y'all can have a seat. Thank y'all. That'll give the rest of us something to do during the sermon. We can look and figure out if there's a tag showing on your clothes. You know, when I was a kid, Christmas was magical. I mean, there was wonder. It was a magical world in which we lived in. But then you get an adult, and one of the unfortunate circumstances of growing up is the wonder slips away. It happens in our Christian life also, doesn't it? As a new Christian, we were probably just amazed and astonished that God would forgive us of our sins. And now we just feel like, well, he's supposed to do that to forgive us. As a young Christian, I can remember reading the Word of God in prayer, and it was so vibrant. But now it seems like it's more of an obligation than it is meaningful and enjoyable. So how do we create wonder? This morning we're going to return one more time back to the story of the birth of Jesus. And my prayer is that even in these moments that we reread this familiar story, some of the wonder will return. That God, who created all of the heavens, would choose us, would come for us to save us. So let me pray. God, would you do that? I can't create wonder. None of us can find wonder in this world unless you reveal it to us. So I pray that in your word, the same word that creates faith, that creates hope, that creates light, that creates direction, that shows us Jesus, the Lord, that you would do that. Spirit of God, please come and help us. Be merciful to me. My sins are many. Open up the eyes of our hearts so that we would see wonderful things in your law today. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, maybe many of you, like me, we read the Christmas story in the Bible as a family yesterday morning. We're going to read it again today. So I invite you to stand. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. Remember, this is not a Hallmark movie. This is not a fiction story that was written. This actually happened. This is the word of the Lord. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord abides forever. Please have a seat. Let's find wonder that the Lord comes to us. Look at Luke 2:15. It says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. The most amazing thing, and there's so many unique, supernatural, magical things that occur in this. The most amazing thing that happened was that the Lord revealed himself to people like you and I. That God, who saw a world of people rebelling against him, denying him, choosing other gods, would still choose to come to save us, to come after us. And so you look at this verse here in verse 15, it says, the shepherd says, hey, let's go over to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. See, the most amazing thing isn't that God came as a baby. In fact, there's many babies who have become kings over the centuries, but only one time has a king become a baby. And the reason that the King of Heaven, Jesus, our Savior, is he came for you and I when we didn't deserve it, when we weren't the best, most brightest person in the world, God came for us. So we need to be amazed at whom the Lord reveals himself. Now, I love book titles. And one of my favorite book titles ever was written by Francis Schaeffer. And it's called No Little People, No Little Places. And in that book, he unpacks how all of us have worth, no matter where we are. There's no little people. If you're a teacher, if you're an IT professional, if you're a mom, if you're in middle school even, you have worth to God. There's no little places. Helena, Alabama, New York City, London, all these areas to God have worth because we were created in God's image. And we think about who this principle of no little people, no little places, we absolutely see it in this passage. I mean, I want you to consider, God in heaven is telling the angels, now is the time I want you to go and to tell the people on earth that I'm sending my son Jesus. And the angels getting all excited. They're like, yes, Lord, send us to Caesar himself. Send us to Pharaoh, the ruler of the Egyptians. Send us to the temple in Jerusalem so that all the Jews will know. And God says, actually, I'm going to send you to a little people in a little place. I want you to go to some shepherds. It's amazing when you think about who the Lord revealed himself to. Look at verse 8. The same reason there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. I mean, the angels were going, you want us to tell the greatest news ever to a group of shepherds sitting in an indistinguishable place at an unimportant time? And he says, absolutely. Those are the people that I came to save. Those are the people that I wanted to reveal myself to. Look at Luke 2:16. They went with haste and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. So here we see the other main characters of the story. Mary, Joseph, insignificant nobodies from a nobody town. These are the ones that God reveals himself to. What we know is Mary, she's an inexperienced teenager having her first child. What we know of Joseph is he was a blue-collar worker, worked with his hands. And what we understand that reveals about Jesus is Jesus grew up living check by check, moment by moment. Poverty, Jesus would understand what it was like to have nothing. Those are the terms in which the King, the creator of the universe, would condescend and come into our world. What are we to learn from the understanding that God revealed himself to shepherds in a young Jewish couple? I think it's a couple of things. One is, and here's where the wonder returns, is the one who wonders the most, the one who receives the encouragement that the story of the birth of Jesus gives are those who see their need for it, right? Those are the ones in who the ones who need a Savior are the ones who realize, I need a Savior. And this is what God did. The ones who realize, you know, I'm a pretty good person. And God coming down, and he was to choose. Remember those uncomfortable years of elementary school when you chose kickball teams or tag teams, and you were just hoping, please, I just don't want to be last. Spiritually speaking, we were the uncoordinated kid, the unathletic kid. Not even more than that, we were the ones that nobody wanted to play with. Nobody wanted to be on a team with. Let me say it in a more refined spiritual way. We were rebels against God. We were disobedient to him. We wanted to rule our own little kingdom. And God was a threat to us. And so we wanted nothing to do with him. That's exactly whom the Lord came and revealed himself to. Unimportant people like you and I. You know, I remember about a year ago when all the COVID stuff was at its highest and mask wearing was really becoming not only more visible, but started to become mandated. I read the story of Dave Ramsey and his organization. Let me know who Dave Ramsey is. He's he helps people to handle their finances from a biblical perspective. And there's a lot of good things that he teaches and has been very helpful to people. But the story that I read was talking about his organization and how even from the beginning, they were anti-mask. They were kind of, you know, freedom, we're not going to wear a mask. Well, every year in the summer, they had a conference. And you would pay $10,000 to come, spend 3 or 4 days, and to learn all these principles from Dave and his team. Well, they were planning to have this conference at the Marriott in Florida. Well, the Marriott in Florida told them that they would have to wear a mask during the conference. Didn't sit well with the leadership of the organization. In fact, an email went out, and this was from one of the leaders. It said, "We're not going to have somebody pay $10,000 for a ticket to have some $8 an hour twerp at Marriott giving them a hard time about wearing a mask." See, the wonder of Christmas is that Jesus didn't appear in the conference room with those who paid $10,000. The wonder of Christmas is that Jesus appeared in the kitchen, people making $8 an hour washing dishes. Twerps like you, twerps like me, spiritually speaking. Not one of us deserved the entrance of Jesus into our world. In fact, God would have been completely just and right to wipe the earth and to start fresh again. But for you who know Christ, God came for you. This is the wonder. This is what creates humility and love for God. When we realize we don't deserve it, but Jesus came for us. We also need to be amazed at what the Lord revealed. Look at verse 9 and 10. What the shepherds saw in the fields that night, it terrified them. But what the shepherds heard, it must have amazed them. Look at 2, 9 and 10. Angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." So the first statement he reveals is, "Fear not." Now, David last week did a fabulous job of explaining why, even today, we aren't to walk in fear. We often do, though, don't we? We're often afraid of how the future is going to work itself out, but we're not to fear because of having God on our side. But then the second thing that we realize there is the identity of Jesus. Look at verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." What does a Savior do? A Savior takes away sin. Christ, the title, the Messiah, is the one who fulfills the hopes and the promises of God. And in the Lord. The Lord is the one who can defeat our enemies and make everything right. It's a baby. An innocent, young, powerless baby. But yet what that baby held within him was a Savior, was the Lord, was the Messiah. So how do we regain our wonder? Here's the second point. Find wonder that He is pleased with our lives through Christ. See, here's the real joy of Christmas. This is better than sweater vests. This is better than beach vacations. This is better than anything that you got over Christmas. The most important gift that you have as a Christian is that God is now pleased with you. You're no longer an enemy of God. You're no longer estranged from God. Peace has been made. And not only that, this very day, you are pleasing to God through Christ. And we're going to unpack that. So let's look at this first one. Who needs peace with God? We all need peace with God. We all were born in sin. We were all born in rebellion against God. All an enemy of God. And we need peace with Him. And that's what the angel says. Here's the good news I bring. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased. As you guys know, I love history, and I love military history. And the thing that I remember about Christmas Day, and it's a story from World War I. It's called the Christmas Truce of 1914. And if you've seen Wonder Woman, you know where there's like no man's land, and on one side you have the German allies, the other is the Allied lines, and between them is this land called no man's land. And it was not very far, maybe 150 yards, maybe 200 yards at the most. And anybody who would come up on there would be shot immediately. Well, on the Christmas day, something unexpected, something wonderful happened. The German side began silently and then a little bit louder singing the words to Silent Night. The Allies heard and they began singing the English equivalent of Silent Night. And then we have journal accounts of this day. One of the Germans got out of his trench and walked, hands up, unarmed. And then a few moments later, one of the Allied soldiers got up. And you can imagine the officers, they were like going, "Get down, don't go." But eventually the two sides got up and they met each other in the middle. And they exchanged cigarettes and food. And a soccer game was played between the Germans and the Allies. And this is what one of the journal entries from that day from a German lieutenant. He said, "How marvelously wonderful. Christmas managed to bring mortal enemies together as friends for a time." That's the gospel. We were mortal enemies of God by our sin and because we were sinners. Through Jesus, the peace that He brings us back to God. We have been made pleasing to God through Christ. And here's the second point. You are currently pleasing to God through Christ. Look at Luke 2:14. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom He is pleased." The present tense is used there. The Lord is pleased. He is pleased with you. If any of you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and Savior, and you're doing your best to follow Him, at this moment, God is pleased with you. Kids want to please their parents, right? I mean, kids want to clean their room and obey so that their mom or dad will go, "Johnny, you are a good, good boy." A lot of times we carry over that works-oriented approach to relationships to God, don't we? "God, I want to please You, so I'm going to go to church the day after Christmas. I'm going to get the devotional that David recommended, and I'm not going to miss a day." All those things are good, right? Does it move the needle of God's delight, pleasure in us? If it does, we're in trouble. Because we're going to have some good weeks, and we're sure enough going to have some bad weeks. And if God's pleasure can ebb and flow based on how we're living, we're in trouble. God's steadfast love, God's delight in us is based not on how we're doing, but what Christ has done. And when it says we are in the righteousness of Christ, that means the love of God can never grow anymore or lessen anymore. And I know you, like me at times, struggling to believe that God has just given up on me. That I've lost the favor of God. I want to tell you that's a lie. You can't lose the favor of God once you have it. And this morning, here's the most wonderful thing I can say. God is pleased with you. God delights in you. You are loved by Him. This day and for the rest of your life because of Christ. Now, isn't that pretty wonderful? Isn't that amazing? That's what the story of Jesus is about. And I pray that not only today, but the rest of our life, we will walk in that reality. God, would you do that? Would you help us to walk in an understanding of who we are in Christ and that it was a gift? That you coming into this world was pursuing those who were running away from you? And Jesus, for you to live the perfect life that we could never live, and for you to lay down your life as a lamb was a gift. And so, Lord, as we approach the end of this year, as we approach the beginning of a new year, help us to restore the wonder of who you are and who you've made us to be. And we pray this through Christ. Amen.
And y'all stand.